and our children are welcome to be dismissed. Jamie, I'm going to ask you to do something impossible. Jamie can do the impossible because Holy Spirit lives in him. In that last song, you had a slide about the church being born. Could you pull that slide up? Because that's going to be an excellent lead into the service this morning. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We'll go to verse 42 in just a moment, but I need to get on a rabbit trail to talk about a few things to lead to Acts chapter 41, 42 through 47. What has happened? Jesus has told the disciples, go back to Jerusalem. Holy Spirit's going to come. Holy Spirit's going to give you power. And it's going to change everything. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the world. And what we're going to look at in just a moment is the early church. Why is the early church different from us today? And I'll tell you two reasons. The church today, the church in America, is a church whose sacred God is convenience. You hear me? We hate inconvenience. We hate change. But the early church, when you read the lyrics of this song and what I'm about to show you in the Bible, they threw convenience on its ear, out the window, and they followed Jesus and they found contentment and they lived in his power. And that's what's missing today. We're more set on our ways and our convenience. If God said, I'm going to meet you at 4 o'clock in the morning, how many of you would show up at 4 a.m. to worship him? Some of you would say, not me. I'm not getting up that. You follow what I'm saying? Or if there was a brother or a sister in need, would you get up in the middle of the night to help that brother or sister? If it's family, yes. If it's convenient. But if, you know, if there's some other issue, no. And I want to talk about moving the church from a church of convenience to being a church of contentment as we live in the power of Christ. But before we can get there, there's always a question, the issue of tongues. And so when you look up on the screen, you have Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Holy Spirit comes upon them. They start speaking in tongues. Now, there's two types of tongues in the Bible. Here is the tongues of languages. If God wanted me to go to Africa, and I don't know Swahili, but I trust God could teach me Swahili, or in his spirit give me the gift of Swahili where I could witness. There are stories, people, of missionaries going to other countries and family members going with them, witnessing to the local people speaking their own language, and they've never studied it. That's what we're looking at Acts chapter 2. Now, in a moment, I'll give you a verse over in 1 Corinthians. That's talking about the language of angels in heaven. People, their prayer language. Okay, I'm not here to talk about that today. What I am here to talk about is the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, does something incredible. And here it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. 120 people. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were speaking different languages of the people who were in Jerusalem, if you continue to read chapter 2. Now, the rabbit trail that I want to chase today is that there is some people who, we like to be Pharisees, we like to judge. There are some people that will say, hey, unless you're speaking in tongues, there's no evidence of the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. There are some people who will say, hey, to be a Christian, women cannot wear pants or shorts, okay? And we'll argue or whatever, but when you look at this next passage out of Romans, it tells us not to judge or condemn. If God is leading someone to wear shorts or to wear pants or to wear a dress, praise God. You hear what I'm saying? Let's not be Pharisees. Except the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything. Hello? But another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Okay, let me get over here. No. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat, everything must not judge the one who does. Okay? If someone were to start speaking tongues in our service, I would stop them. There is a biblical precedent on that. But our style of worship isn't speaking in tongues. Okay? Do you hear me on that? And so I would ask that you would respect our style of worship and not do that. Now, I do know there are people in this room that do speak in tongues in prayer, okay? All right, God bless you. I'm not judging you. But you have refrained, I believe, according to this verse, from doing that. Let's keep reading. Verse 4. Who are you to judge someone else's service to their own master? Servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. And so, speaking in tongues, talking about that, that's a different category. I do not speak in tongues. It is a gift. When you look at 1 Corinthians 12, also in your outline, beginning with verse 4, it says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. If you tell me you have every gift the Spirit gives, you're messed up. I'm sending you to Rusk. Okay? You're messed up. God has given you a gift to contribute to the body. Okay? So there's different gifts. And the Bible says this: there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working. But in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The building up. This is a different sermon, but I know to get to Acts chapter 2, verse 41, there's a lot of questions. And Peter is preaching a sermon over what's happening with people speaking in tongues. And he finally gets to a point where he says, "You killed Jesus Christ. It is your sins that nailed him to the cross." And then the Bible says they were pricked to the heart, and they go, "What do we need to do?" And he says, "You need to repent, trust Christ, be baptized." Now let's pick up verse 40. With many other words, this is Peter, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Same message we need to hear today, don't we? But it started with a message of power full of the Spirit. I've answered your question for tongues temporarily, okay? I'm not here to preach on tongues today. I'm here to preach on the church moving from inconvenience, or a church of convenience, to a church of convenience, a church of contentment. I'm sorry. He says, and then verse 41 says this: those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number today. So in one day, the church grew from 120 people to 3,120 people. Let's pray. Father God, we live in your Spirit. Give us your power. Give us a heart just like the early disciples had, where we surrender everything, where we move from convenience to contentment in your power. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's read our passage today, then I'll come back and expound on it and give you some examples. Verse 42, notice this, radical change, they devoted. Now, I'll come back and talk about devoted, but in your Bible, you want to circle devoted, or in your outline. That word, it doesn't mean addicted, but it's close to it, where they are committed. This is the one thing they wanted to do. And there's four things. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, that's worship, and to prayer. And then the Bible continues to say, verse 43, because they were committed to those four things, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. That's the 11 guys. Minus Judas, or 12 guys minus Judas, 11 guys that walked with Jesus. Verse 44, 45. All the believers were together, unity, and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Am I asking you to sell something and to give to the need? I'm not, but Jesus may be. Verse 46. Every day they continued. Notice this. Every day they continued. And that word continues, the same word for devoted in verse 42. You might want to circle that. If you want to do a Greek study, interesting word. They were committed. They were sold out. And let me stop and chase this rabbit with you for a moment. They sang Hosea when Jesus came in on Palm Sunday. By Friday, they were screaming, "Crucify him." And then they hear the powerful preaching of Peter, and they go, "Oh no." And then there's this radical transformation that takes place. And we see this. They continue to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. I'm convinced the reason the church in America doesn't see people daily being saved is because we live a lifestyle of convenience instead of a church that lives in the power of the Holy Spirit that's full of contentment. And so the question, what does inconvenience do? You remember the four things we just read in 42? They were committed to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, to prayer. Inconvenience says, I don't have time to read my Bible. If you say that today, your God is the God of convenience. And shame on you. And I'm not trying to play Junior Holy Spirit. I'm trying to wake you up. Amen? Or oh me. If you don't have time to serve others, your God isn't Jesus Christ. It is the God of convenience. You have an idol. You need to get rid of it. If you're saying, I don't have time to worship because of my busy schedule, your God is the God of convenience, not Jesus Christ. And if you don't have time to pray, you're saying you're too busy to pray, grow up. Please grow up. Why do I say that? When I look at contentment in Philippians 4, Paul says this, not that I speak from want. Remember, he's had a glimpse of heaven. In Galatians and Corinthians, he talks about being in heaven. Comes back, God humbles him, you know, the thorn in the flesh. But he says this, for I've learned to be content whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering. And then here it is, his power. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And there's no power in the church because our God is the God of convenience, not Jesus Christ. And we don't want to change. So how do we move from inconvenience to contentment? Let's come back to Acts chapter 42, chapter 2, verse 42. And let's look closely at these five verses. And let's open our minds just for a moment and ask, what if I really changed my life and became devoted like the early church and continue to do these things? Stage one, I'm going to give you, I don't forget how many stages. There'll be a final stage. That's when you know it's at the end. Anyway, stage one, there must be a change that only Christ can cause. The early church was radically changed because of Jesus Christ coming into their lives, filling them with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to change. I don't care what you do, what you read, what you watch. Only Jesus Christ can change you. That's why I'm a pastor, because I believe that. You're here because you believe that too. You're here because the Holy Spirit stirred your heart to be here. And when I look at verse 42, they devoted themselves. What did they do in this devoting themselves? Number one, they met willingly. If you woke up grudgingly arguing with your spouse or arguing with your kids, wake up, grow up. The early church met willingly. I'm serious. If God said, let's meet at 4 a.m., how many of you would be willingly excited to get up at 3 o'clock to get ready to gather? I'm not proposing that. But I am saying, what if? Because God is our Lord. They met regularly. And catch this. They met with all types of people. You want to talk about a multi-ethnic congregation? 11 o'clock in the United States is the most segregated hour in our country. Why is that? Convenience. We want people to look like us, smell like us. Boy, are we in a shock when we get to heaven. Especially when we see that Jesus is a Jewish boy. They met because of Christ. Amen? In this early church, Holy Spirit's filling them, doing something different. And as we look at verse 42, stage two, that change leads from moving to inconvenience to commitment. You hear me? They move from convenience to a commitment. That's the second stage. What do I mean by that? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What is the apostles' teaching? The only thing they had was the Old Testament scripture and 11 apostles who walked with Jesus, and based on the Holy Spirit speaking their hearts, they're reteaching the words of Jesus to this group. So you have 11 men teaching how many people? 3,109. Because 11 are the teachers. You talk about small groups, multiple services, whatever. They got it. I hope I did my math right. 11 from 20. Okay, it's not. All right. I have some mathematicians up here checking me. Now, I want you to, where do you put 3,100 people? Outside. Yeah, that's a good homes. And all. But here's this. They were there because they didn't know Jesus, and they had a hunger to know Jesus, His Word, the Bible which points to Jesus. They couldn't get enough of it. It was better than a steak. No offense to Scott. It's better than the steak we're going to have tomorrow night. It's better than the meal you're going to have today. They desired and hungered God's Word to know more about Jesus. And it wasn't until 20 years later that we have the Gospel of Mark. That's Peter. Galatians and Romans written by Paul. So for 20 years, Old Testament, prophecy, and the apostles, or prophets, and the apostles who are reminding him what Jesus taught till it's written down. And we have it now written down. It's called the Holy Scriptures. We honor it, we don't worship it, but it points us to Jesus. How to know Him and He to know you. Amen? But notice this, to the fellowship, unity, to the breaking of bread. Actually, it's a reference to the Lord's Supper. They did worship. It does get abused later. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, stop getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. Stop eating all the food. It's a time of remembrance. You know, I'll let you read 1 Corinthians. But he has to bring judgment down on the Corinthians because they're messed up. And then to prayer. When's the last time you wrestled with God over a lost person? Instead, in our convenience, God, give me, give me, give me. If you keep a prayer journal, how many of us write, bless me with this, guide me in that, instead of praying for the lostness of someone. Now, for those in here who don't know Jesus Christ, don't mean to scare you, but I want to tell you this. You know what's worse than going to hell? As you're falling in the pits of hell, your child passes by you and says, why did you not tell me about Jesus? I hope that gets your attention. I'm not trying to play Junior Holy Spirit, but there is a hell, and we are commanded to teach people about it and to pray for them. That's all I'm going to say. I'll let the Spirit bring conviction on you. But stage two, that change, that love, that commitment to Jesus moves them from a God of convenience to a God of power. The apostles' teaching, it's learning God's Word. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This also is part of stage one and two. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation's come, the old is gone, the new is here. Parents, you got a child or a relative struggling with drugs or whatever, pray for them. Pray for them. Spouse that's giving you a hard time, won't come to church or whatever, pray for them. Family member that's locked, you pray for them. God wants that prayer to be answered, but He gives us free will where we can say no. And that does happen. But as we keep reading Scripture, on the next slide, Fellowship means they love one another, breaking of bread, they worship together. Prayer is intercession for others. Evangelism, I just said that. Let's move to stage three, verse 43. In stage three, I see God working and I move to make adjustments and join Him. Experiencing God. If you want to experience God, He's going to invite you to a crisis. And the only way that you're going to be able to walk with Him is that you have to make adjustments that require faith. And it's going to challenge you more that you don't understand, you don't agree with, but God's going to challenge you. And you make that adjustment and you join. Now notice this, everyone was filled with awe. And it's not the people, it's the apostles. At the many wonders and signs performed by who? The apostles, the people that walked with Jesus. Okay, now other things will happen later on in Acts as we read it. But what I'm trying to say is this. When you start moving from convenience to contentment, God starts doing something in your life. Many of you want to live on a mountaintop. That's unrealistic. There will be mountaintops. Our life is in the valley. Because God wants to use us as a light to show other people how we got through that. God is writing a story in your life through the hardships you're going through, have gone through, so that you can encourage others. Amen? Amen? And so we see God working and we move to make adjustments, or we make adjustments to join Him. John 5:19, Jesus says this, "Verily, truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. And because whatever the Father does, the Son also doing." You want to walk with God? What is He doing? Make adjustments and walk with Him. We don't get ahead. We don't get behind. We walk with Him. Holding His hand just like Adam and Eve did in the creation before they messed up. Stage four. I live, and this is really going to attack convenience. I live in generosity and focus on people more than things. I don't like that, David. Some of you think you're generous. Really? Okay, we'll test that in a moment. Notice this. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. This isn't a form of Christian communism. It's a theocracy where God rules. He stirred their heart. As they saw needs, they're going, this need, this person's more important than this. And they sold whatever, gave it to the church to meet that need. Does that make sense? But since I mentioned generosity, and we had a great month last month, thank you. But God isn't interested in money. He's interested in hearts. And so there are four types of people that's in this room. Four types of people on this planet. First group, it's all mine. I'm not sharing. That's your wealth. You're a materialistic person. It's all about you. Not realizing that God gave you the ability to earn the money. He gave you the spiritual gifts to do what. Everything's a gift from God. Some of you are tippers. I give God some. Some of you are tithers. I give God a tithe. You give 10%. Cool. But what God wants is the widow. You remember the widow who had the two mites? You know, the two pennies? I give God all because it all belongs to Him. To move to contentment, you're saying, God, everything I have, the next breath I take, the next heart, everything I have belongs to You. I surrender, I lay it before You, how You want to use it for Your glory, because You died and saved me from a rotten hell. I can't pay You back enough. Even if you lived a million lifetimes, you don't have enough to pay back God for what He did for you, because it cost God everything, Himself, His Son Jesus, to save you. So we move from generosity to giving. But notice with me now, as in the book of Jude, some of you give, but you give grudgingly. Some of you I know would give a shirt off your back in a heartbeat, but you'd gripe every second doing it. All right, Jude. And in your smartphones, you know, there's only one chapter in Jude, but we always say Jude verse 24, you know, but To pull it up on your smartphone, you have to put a chapter 1 in. So Jude 1, 24, 25. Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling, make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless, with great joy. One day we're going to stand before Jesus with great joy. You can't even express that great joy. How come we can't live that way on earth? Isn't earth supposed to be a dress rehearsal for heaven? Okay, I have to, are you with me? Have I put you to sleep? Man, it's gotten quiet. To be the only God of our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time, now, and forever. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad God saved you, that He rules over? The last stage, here we are. Okay, I couldn't remember. Amen? I figured somebody would say amen on that, the last stage. But I'm just getting going. Okay, here we go. The last stage, moving from convenience to contentment. What I noticed about the early church, they fell in love with God. Okay? Now, you remember I said they had Old Testament scriptures. The John 3:16 of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:5. You should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your might. Jesus repeats it. This is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. They realized their first priority was to love God with everything. Then contentment comes when you're right with God. In fact, I have a couple of questions for you on this. It's in your outline. Does my heart beat with God's? Does my personality reflect Him? Ooh, I got rebuked by my 5-year-old grandson the other day. You know, there are some real idiots that drive on the road here in Huntsville. Stop signs or the access getting up on 45. And Hudson, you know, he's in the back seat in the truck, and he goes, Bop is my name to him. Bop, patience. Patience. And you know where he learned that from? Gigi, my wife. Okay, all right. Does my personality reflect Him? Does it reflect Jesus Christ in our conduct? And I'll tell you, I struggle. There's times I don't reflect Jesus, but we have to. Do I live and breathe Him and His Word? Is that your breath? Do I set all my might and will upon Him? That you're fighting for everything just to grab hold of God, to know Him. Jamie, if you could back up a slide back to Deuteronomy 6:5. You should love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. Guys, this is the opposite of the God of convenience. Because the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Jesus is God in the flesh, is completely different. He says, I love the Father. I will die for the Father. I will do whatever the Father. I thank the Father. As I see the Father move, I move. It's kind of like in the Old Testament when Moses is leading the people out of Egypt. What did they have? A cloud during the day and a ball of fire at night. When the cloud moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. At night, when that fire moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. Pretty simple. But these guys would long for us. They would love to have God living in us, quickening our spirit. And so the early church, they clung to teaching. If you're not in a Bible study group, you need to get one. You need to get in one. And you can give me all the excuses you can give, and I'm going to say one word, convenience. It's just not a priority. If you're not praying, and we're trying to open up a prayer room, in fact, we have one back here, but if you don't want to pray, convenience. If you don't want to fellowship with other people, well, they hurt my feelings, I don't like them, they didn't take a bath, convenience. And then, for prayer, come in, and the worship You know, I don't want to worship with those people. They're a bunch of hypocrites. We need Jesus. I'm like Paul. The things I know I should do, I don't. And the things I shouldn't, I do. Oh, what a wretched man I am. And then immediately in chapter 8, verse 1, there's no condemnation for those because of Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm going to worship a Savior who saved me. Convenience. Praying for lost people. Oh, I don't have time. I really want that person to go to hell. Do you really? Is that a Christian? Seriously, some of us have said go to hell to people because they've made us mad. Telemarketers. Is that reflecting Christ? Let me wrap this up with two verses. Revelation 19, 16. All right, those of you who have tattoos, Jesus has a tattoo. It's not a Sharpie mark, okay? And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. King of kings, Lord of lords. Amen. The early church knew Jesus is coming back. They wanted to worship him. They wanted to spend time in his word. They wanted to spend time with him. And they realized they were called to change the world. And doggone it, they did it. How do I know? The next verse. The result, contentment and transformation. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts to do what? To do the apostles' teachings. To pray for one another, to struggle. They were doing James 5. They broke bread in their homes. They opened their homes for Bible studies. Some of you know, and it's because of convenience you won't host a Bible study in your house. It's because of convenience you won't get to know your neighbors. Boy, I feel another sermon coming. But they broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You remember the Jude rejoicing? Praising God, enjoying the favor of the people, but then here it is. And the Lord added number daily to those who were being saved. The end. The early church that modeled for us. They moved from inconvenience or a God of convenience to a God of power who gave them contentment, not inconvenience. Where are you today? Some of you, you'd say, I'm not a believer. Some of you might say, oh, I'm a Christian. Okay. I'm starting to have struggles with that definition of Christian. How is it that people call themselves a Christian, but you never see them in church? Because that's the opposite of what we just read, isn't it not? Now, we joke and talk about CEOs, Christmas and Easter only people. But I cannot find in the Bible a person who calls themselves a Christian that doesn't want to be in God's Word, fellowship, worship, and pray for the lostness of the world. Amen? The God of convenience has slipped in. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You have lostness, a non-believer. Well, no, the Bible calls you lost. That's what the Bible says. You're either lost or saved. And so these four stages or four areas, you're either lost. Some call you Christians. I struggle with that. How about you're a maturing or growing in Christ? That means you're different than what you were yesterday. You know, one of the greatest blessings I had, and I won't mention the name, I was playing pickleball. Don't do it, you'll get hurt. And this sweet lady from another church says, David, I appreciate you doing this. I see Jesus in that person. Man, for a pastor, that was a compliment. Can people see Jesus transforming your life from a year ago or last week? If you're still the same last night, you can rededicate and resurrender this morning. The third area, well, you have non-believer, lost person, Christian, I'm kind of fuzzy over that. growing in Christ, or were we where we really want you to be? And Scotty will sing a solo if you do this. He's got a good voice, really. Okay. A disciple-making disciple Christian. A person who leads someone to Christ, disciples them so they can lead other people to Christ to disciple them. Guys, we're about lighthouses pushing back the darkness. And Huntsville is very dark because we live inconvenience. Father God, have mercy on us. We surrender to you. Help us to look right now at our lives as you speak to us through your Spirit. How big is the God of convenience in my life? The Bible's clear, there's only one God. And he reveals himself as Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Titus tells us as we wait for the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, there's no room for idols in our lives. From how we manage our time, how we manage our finances, our talents, our testimony, God, it all comes back to convenience. Father, would your Spirit make us so uncomfortable that we would surrender to you right now? If it's for salvation, if it's for taking the next step and growing in Christ, whatever it is, Father, would you just pour your Spirit on us that we can't sleep, we have a burden until we get right with you? Father, help us to model the Acts chapter 2 that we just read. Not for our pride, but for your glory. The world needs you. Father, missiles were being shot last night over in the Middle East. There's threat of invasion of Taiwan and invasion in Europe, a war going. Father, we're drug cartels. We're on the verge of World War III. We're on the verge of total collapse. And only you can change us, but that change happens through Jesus Christ. Father, help us right now to be inconvenient as we're broken so that we would surrender to you. Father, may revival start with me. Help me to be broken over the sin in my life. Help me to be broken over the lostness. Father, help the people in this room be broken over their sin. To be broken over the lostness. And Father, we pray that revival not just be for Covenant, but be for all of your churches here in Huntsville and Walker County. Father, bring revival, but start with me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we join our praise team in singing Same God.